Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Point of View.
Legal matters.
Thank you so much for staying with us. As you know, it's one of those days where everybody stays waiting for Ntabiseng Dubasana for all her legal advice because it's free, of course. So we start off with a few stories, but in the meantime, please do send in your questions, 086-000-0959. You can send voice notes as well. You can also send texts if you like as well on 0-3-6-8-8-0-9-5-9. We promise if you don't want us to tell everybody who you are, we can keep it anonymous. We'll be as confidential as possible. But to start sending in those questions now before we get to them, let's start with this. And Ntabiseng saying good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Ospimela. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really interested in some of the stories that you've picked up on. And this in particular, the fake AI citation.
Yay.
In heads of arguments, to explain that to me.
All right. So when, as practitioners, once you've done either you're doing your action application, which is your affidavits and replying affidavits, etc., or if you're doing not action, I beg your pardon, that's motion, and then action application is when you've issued your summons and people have replied. Mm. Now the next step is that once all these checkpoints have been met, the next step is now you have to do your heads of argument. So in an action proceeding, it would be after everybody has given their evidence and whatnot, now you're going to give basically your closing, what in TV they call your closing arguments. So your heads of argument is wherein now you kind of put a nice ribbon on your client's version of events, and then you support it with case law that's going to either help your case, or if you don't find anything that helps your case, you can find another one that kind of moves the court to have some kind of empathy towards you. So for your facts, you attach the law, and then with that law, it comes with a particular case, either recent or old, that will help the court come to a decision that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. So what we do is that as we are typing our heads of argument, once you've done with the facts, you're going to come and say, in case so-and-so, where it's Pimelo versus Ntabiseng, case number 250 of 2025, then you cite what the judge was hearing that matter would say, and what the principle that was applied in that particular case said, then how it applies to your particular facts. Ne?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now, in this case, this gent or woman, I'm not actually quite sure if the attorney was a man or a woman, but in their heads of argument, they had such good cases that were actually going to help them win the case. So what presiding officers usually do is that before they go through your mountain of papers, they go through your heads of argument, and then the parts that you are pointing them at in your founding affidavits and stuff, they only go there to go check what's written there. They are hoping your heads of argument will actually just summarize everything nicely and the law very nicely. So now the judge looks at these heads of argument and finds these two particular cases and goes on to safely, goes everywhere to try and find this case.
It's not funny, but it's really funny. So this guy made it all up, or is this AI generated?
It's AI generated.
And then this is serious.
It is very serious. This is actually the second case, if I'm not mistaken, in our country where in AI
was this happened here.
Yes, it's local. It's not.
So what would be the consequences of, I mean, that's not just lying. That is quite serious.
Correct. So now, he was actually kind of lucky. He just did not use his opportunity. The judge actually referred back the heads of argument to him and said, listen, these cases that you cited here, they don't exist. Do something. Rework what you put here. But this attorney insisted that these kids are from Safli.
What?
And then when now the judge is handing down judgment, is like, as legal practitioners, you are under oath and obligation to not mislead the court intentionally or negligently on in your heads of argument about any aspect of the law. So now, as a result of you not only giving me false information, but when I corrected you, you continue to insist that this information is correct. Therefore, not only is your client losing its case because there's really no law that you're relying on, and secondly, the costs are going to come to your client. It went to the client in this matter, unfortunately. And then over and above that, he was referred to the LPC for misconduct.
Good.
So it goes to show that, you know, sometimes you're not
going to... He shouldn't be practicing ever.
Exactly. Yeah. And as practitioners, yes, most of the time you won't find a law journal really nearby when you're drafting a heads of argument. But make sure when you go onto your Google sites, the case you're citing actually exists, because it will have a proper case number and a judge. And you mustn't just assume it's a judge that is... Check if that judge exists in that particular court. You will know, because their information is there for you to see. So this particular practitioner chose not to do this and is likely to now to lose their right to practice in the country.
I think he should. I have no sympathy for him. He should.
You never have sympathy.
No. He must go. I mean, this is quite... I mean, it's very serious. I'm not... I wonder if it's someone who did that at school. I wonder if it's an older...
I hope not, because in school, back before... I don't know what they do now in school, but when we were there, you had to have your references detailed so you know where you got this information. And otherwise, you're going to be charged with plagiarism. I don't know if plagiarism is such a big thing anymore right now in varsity, but yeah, back in our day, it was a huge deal.
Yeah. So let's look at the second one. Dismiss for exercising labor rights?
Ooh, yes. Yeah, ne. This is what you always complain about, actually, if you recall. That people must, even though I keep saying the law is on your side, you can do this, and you said to me, but Ntebi saying, if you're going to go and lodge a complaint, you know they're going to paint a target on your back. So this is exactly what happened in this particular case. So in this case, this lady was employed for, I think, in 2020. And then she was promised salary increases and bonuses, which never came. And then after a year of her waiting, she sent her grievances to her direct line manager. So in her case, it was her line manager, and then it was the boss. So there was like no other person to deal. So it's one of those very small companies. So once she lodged her complaint to her boss, the line manager, but the line manager's like, yes, there's no, it's okay. Let me take it straight to the boss. And then the boss was like, well, whatever, and ignored her and did not attend to her grievances. So once this was done, then she went to the CCMA, and then she lodged an unfair labor practice dispute to say that you are unilaterally not adhering to the agreements that we have made as employer-employee. You have not given me my bonuses. You have not given me my salary increases as per discussion and as per agreement. I have sent internal grievances to which none of which were responded to by yourself or even my line manager, who doesn't have the power in any event. So once she did that, then the employer started a retrenchment strategy in terms of Section 189, subsection 3, which is basically operational requirements, in that her position is redundant. They cannot afford to keep her on anymore. And then she retaliated and said, no, you are only starting this process only because I have lodged my complaint with the CCMA. A whole internal process was done, and she was eventually dismissed. And then her application went from unfair labor practice to now unfair dismissal. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and as you said, we keep talking about this all the time. Mm-hmm. And the question is, how does one then draw the balance?
I think, like she did, you try and follow the steps as much as you can. It doesn't guarantee that you're not going to get fired, but it does give you some leeway that you may get some kind of compensation out of this situation. Because what she then eventually was successful in doing in the CCMA, when she was then found, well, unfortunately, the CCMA was, I think the CCMA was not on her side, and said that she the dismissal was in accordance with Section 189. And then what she then did was refer the matter for review in the Labour Court. And then the Labour Court assessing and looking at all the steps that she had taken before and after her dismissal, the court was of the opinion that no, the retrenchment was solely for her. It had no, the company had no other reason for it to start any retrenchment process. And had the company adhered to or at least given her an ear when it comes to her woes, then we wouldn't be sitting where we are. And then as such, the dismissal was deemed to definitely be unfair. And then she was then awarded compensation equivalent to 20 months remuneration. For her, it was sitting at 300,000.
So yeah, we've been here before, ne?
Yeah.
where we discuss, okay, in the end, at the very end of all of it, you never come out a winner, because I mean, look at that amount.
Yes.
And it's I don't think it's equivalent to losing a job.
No.
300,000 rand is very, very little when you look at what she's losing. So, well, let's just remind you that you can call in on 086-000-0959, and you can send those questions also on WhatsApp on 063-688-0959. You can send them anonymously. You can send a text if you like, while Ntabi Singh is here. Ntabi Singh, there's another story you wanted to look at, a dispute over car installment sale agreement.
Yeah.
Give me more details.
All right. So in this particular matter, we are dealing with a Section 129 notice. Ne? So what is a Section 129 notice in terms of the National Credit Act? It is basically a letter of demand. So what happens is that you default month one, you default month two, then the financial institution is like, listen, you owe us, please make sure that you pay us. So there'll be SMSs, remember, and emails here and there, maybe a phone call. But now that they're realizing that you are not making any payment, you are not getting back to them or anything, they have to send out a letter of demand. So in this situation, FNB or West Bank, to be specific, was the one that sent out a Section 129 notice. And then what they then did is that after they did this, they then embarked on a summons. Remember, I always say, when you receive such letters, don't ignore them, because it's going to lead to a summons. And when you do get a summons, don't ignore that either, because it may lead to a default judgment, which is exactly what happened in this situation. A summons was issued, and then we ended up with a default judgment against this person. And then as a result, West Bank was able to get the car and then sold it at auction. So now the dispute is that this gentleman says that he, Mr. Phil Yoon, says he didn't receive the Section 129 notice. So as such, service the service of the Section 129 was therefore a defect. So everything that stems from this Section 129 can therefore be deemed to not be legal, because he never received the notice. Ne? So now, this went on because he wanted to do an application for a rescission of judgment. So in other words, to rescind or to get the court to decide against its original decision to issue the default judgment against him, which led to the car being sold. So he says the summons was served at an address that the applicant disputes was his chosen domicilium, and default judgment was granted on the 11th of October 2023, which led to the repossession of the car. And then the applicant, which is Mr. Phil Yoon, argues improper service of the summons and non-compliance with the NCA's mandatory pre-litigation proceedings. So they sent it to an address which he did not say is where he lives. And then,
where would they have found the address from?
So they say that they procured the services of what they call a track and trace. And then the respondent conceded that the track and trace report did not confirm delivery of the Section 129 notice to the correct post office, and there was no evidence the applicant received the email notice either. As such, it means that everything else that flowed from
is illegal.
Is illegal. The summons, wow. The default judgment, everything.
Wow.
So now, the judge in this particular case says, well, the default judgment was erroneously granted due to the respondent's non-compliance with Section 129. And then he goes on to say the respondent's argument for an adjournment under Section 130 basically to say, can we stand this matter down so that I can sort myself out and correct my mistake with the Section 129 was also rejected by the court.
And so this is the bank?
This is the bank.
Jeez.
So now the legal proceedings could not have been able to commence without the service of the Section 129 notice. It is just unfortunate, but that the time that this matter came in front of this court, the mm-hmm. car was already sold, I beg your pardon.
By the bank.
So the bank...
And in that case, then what happened?
The court then said, you not only... I think
you
they
must
owe
reimburse.
Him, yeah, reimburse him the money, and then you're going to pay him counsel fees and all of the... and costs and all of that. So the small details that are small. Yeah, yeah.
Hang on, because I'm very confused in this sense, right? If we follow the law, how did they eventually get the vehicle?
By way of a default judgment. So,
but where was it? So they were not able to take the summons and all of those things to the right address. Did they find the vehicle at a different address? Do we know?
That one I'm not particularly sure, but from my understanding, if the car is still financed, I think the bank still has some kind of tracker of sorts.
Yes, they would have picked it up anyway. It doesn't have to be from the address.
Yes,
got you.
Yes. So they would have gotten wherever it was, and then that's how they would have gotten it and sold it.
But oksalai, the summons went to the wrong address.
Yes, and in particular, the Section 129 notice, that's the one that's predates or precedes the actual summons. It did not go to the right person. Remember, Section 129 doesn't say that you need to prove that Ntabi Singh received it, as in like it was actually Ntabi Singh who received it. As long as you can prove that it went to the correct address, then it's sufficient. They couldn't do that either.
All right. Ntabi Singh, we've got a caller, and Dr. Selby, who is on the line. And Dr. Selby, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Tamil and Ntabi Singh. How are you?
We're good. Dr. Selby. It's been a while.
I'm blessed beyond measure.
Excellent.
Oksala was Oktola.
Oksala. No, you're right, Dr. Selby, yeah?
Yeah, no, Oksala was Oktola.
Yes. Yeah.
Then bana ba ba hae ba ne le chance ya hore ba ka defy a will e ona
yo as nang the surname ya ntate or the kids that have surname ya ntate
ba ba ne le surname ya ntate ka hore will
bana ba hae
ka o as nang se ke ngwana ntate mara ana se
ntate se
ntate di on brief a itsho hore ke ngwana ntate
se ntate se
yes
wa batsa batho ba ba siang chalet ya bona ba e fa dinja bana le bana
ke ka utlwa
it's possible I'm offenja everything ena le nyona a sie bana it happens can it does happen
e bitswa right
ene mo mlao
yes
Imomlao. you can give away no you can give away everything to charity and not give your children anything. Kamulao.
I will not tell you about Caymans.
How is that? Is it a how?
No.
I get it. Maybe Liduzi Moli, ne? Liduzi, the Jarataka of Fella Halibuisan. Mar Ushevile, the Charitza, Santa Tuaha or Mamaha. Aba decide a motor, why is it banaba? Kitaba wants.
Vele situation naili fela jwalo ne ba sa mathle ntato.
Eh ha ba mo checki and all of that. Mara ba ba tshelta ha.
O checkwa ke yena o asina ngfanya.
Ba bang ba molatletse ko old age home. Ha ba bona hore no. tšhelete yaka e tla mo ke batlang gore e kuti
no I ke certified
ene mo molaong ate
no ke certified ne ke worry gore no ba ka wina maybe
ah ho ha
ke di last wishes ka monga tšhelete thank you that SLB
thank you stay blessed
thanks bye-bye.
Bye.
Tabi saying a quick one apparently someone wants to know if you can provide the case details I mean are you able to check and maybe later on give us the case details of that AI case
Oh, no, I'll check. Sorry.
No, we can do it later. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. You can look. All right. So here's another one. Good evening, Kaya team. If you're dismissed under the information that you were drunk at work and the evidence is a word from people who say you were drunk and it was not proven or you were not tested, what can one do? Oh, I have a case very similar that I know of.
Mm.
What does a person do? Just if people have decided to, you know, by hearsay, say Mudibedi came to work drunk, but nobody tested Mudibedi, and the employer heard from us that Mudibedi is drunk. The employer didn't see Mudibedi drunk.
Yes, this is the problem with hearsay evidence. Hearsay evidence is not admitted in our law. It can only be provisionally accepted into evidence if there's going to be some way to prove it at the end. Ne? So if the situation is that, let's say your employer's code of conduct says that you're not allowed to come to work drunk, and the consequence is that your first offense is an automatic dismissal. Even with an automatic dismissal, they still need to give you a notice. They still need to have you give your evidence, and you bring your evidence, they bring their evidence and your witnesses, etc. So if they did not test you on that particular day, and let's also say for argument's sake that the code of conduct says they are permitted to test you. If there is no evidence to that effect, that dismissal is unfair because there is not. It's both substantively and procedurally unfair. What steps did you follow to ensure that these allegations were indeed true? And secondly, the substance, that's procedure, the substance, the issue itself, what did you do? Is there some kind of test? Was there a video footage that shows that Mudibedi was stumbling all over the place? Did you smell the alcohol on him? All of these things. Is there nothing to prove that? Then if there's nothing to prove that, then you do not have a case. Refer them to the CCMA.
Tabi saying, often it's not necessarily a case of being dismissed. But if you are facing problems at work and this can be, let's say, a warning. But maybe you're sitting on warning one or two, and maybe the third one is a strike.
Mm.
In other words, it's part of, a process that was already underway. I often don't know if every time you're given a warning, there's an investigation.
Usually for a warning, there's really no investigation. It's like an informal sit down to say, hey, Pimelo, stop this.
And it's a written warning.
Yeah, and it's a written warning.
But it's one of three. Exactly.
The question is, how long does your company consider this written warning to be alive? So is it a 3-month situation, a 6-month situation? If within that 6 months you're caught twice, and the first and second one are still basically alive, then you're in trouble. But if you were caught and then who fit there a whole year, they can't now bring up a written warning or even if it's a verbal one that has expired. It's no longer relevant. It can be used as some sort of referral, but it cannot be used as precedent to show that you are a habitual offender, even in criminal law. When 10 years have passed and now we are reading your SAP 69s in court, even the magistrate is like, oh, well, these crimes are older than 10 years. We're not even going to consider them anymore. They look at crimes that are sometimes even 8 years. They don't usually look at it that much. But recent cases that are younger than 10 years, then we look at them so that we can compound and show that you have a habit to commit the same offenses or offenses in general, and therefore giving you any sort of leniency is of no use. So we need to now punish you hard.
Sure. All right. I believe we've got a voice note as well, Ntabise.
Okay. Good evening, Pamela and Ntabise. Pamela, I have the same situation, you know. The company is the one that reviewed the matter to the labor court. But when it applied to the labor court, it put the wrong papers, late application, but all those things, they were accepted in court. Even the judge presided over that. Now I've complained, nothing is happening about that. At this moment, you know, it's very serious, because even the court manager doesn't want to sign my complaint form.
What are we saying?
The downside is that, unfortunately, if you complain, it doesn't change the outcome of the case. You may complain about the behavior of the presiding officer for not looking at the information correctly. But I understand, I really do understand, legal representation is expensive. But if you had an attorney who could pick up these things, this matter wouldn't have been presided over with the wrong information. So now you may have to appeal that decision to the Labour Appeal Court to say that the information, in fact, review it, because the process, not appeal, review it, because the process that was followed in the Labour Court was not correct. The transcripts that were used were not from the from your arbitration. The case numbers or whatever the case, whatever the things that they used in that case were not the correct ones. You know what I mean? But unfortunately, complaining internally in terms of how things were done and not taking it to a superior court who can then look over the papers and actually see what it is you're talking about makes this court order to stay in force and active. It will not be rescinded or changed. So that's what you need to look into, unfortunately, and see if an attorney can assist you in this regard.
All right. I don't know if we've lost him, but I hope we've been able to respond to that. Okay. There is a text also that says, what does the law say about non-ethical hacking? It happens all the time.
Yeah, no. It's so bad. I think, is it last week or the week before when we were talking about the Hyundai case with the wrong banking details, and we're referring to a law firm who was hacked and their banking details were also compromised and payments were done in that respect. So what, in our fraternity at least, what has happened is that you need to have safeguards to your cyber system, your network, whatever the case may be, the best you can, of course, to ensure that they don't hack you. But if you are hacked and something is stolen from you, and if you're able to trace it, great, you can go open a case. But most of the time, if you're not able to trace these things, it becomes a bit of a problem. It is illegal, of course. Sometimes it does lead to identity theft and all of these things. But yeah, I mean, it happens all the time. If you don't have a way to protect yourself, you're going to find yourself in serious hot water.
Sure. We had another case that we wanted to look at, right?
Yes, I do believe we do.
By the way, in the meantime, just continue to send those questions on 086-000-0959 or on 063-688-0959. And I tell you now, if you called her at her office, she's not free. So call in now so that you can get at least some free legal advice, because if you called her at her office, you're going to have to pay for that service. So Ntabi saying, what's our last case?
See, now I've lost it.
Askew.
I had
it's
it
the money talk. Now. It's the money talk. You see, what happens when people talk about money, suddenly everything goes out the window.
You see.
And, you know, yes. It's the money, but it's the truth. It's the truth. You know, if people are going to be calling you outside of these hours, they will have to pay for your services.
That is very true. That is indeed very true. There is not particularly a case, but the General Family Laws Amendment Bill that's coming in 2025. right? So remember, we have the marriage bill that is still in parliament that is being discussed to try and put all the marriages under one umbrella. But what is also very interesting, that is also probably going to happen, is the General Family Laws Amendment Bill, wherein it's going to deal with asset redistribution and expand on it. So the bill may cure the constitutional defects in the Divorce Act and the Matrimonial Property Act, which will enable fairer asset claims for spouses married out of community of property without accrual, especially pre-1984 unions. So in marriage out of community of property without the option of accrual. Sahau ki sahau, saka ki saka. What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. So there was a case that was decided, I think it was a year and a half ago. I haven't seen any update from the SCA as yet, wherein this gentleman divorced, I think we discussed it last year as well, wherein this gentleman divorced his wife. They were married out of community of property and without accrual. And his wife was claiming compensation or asset distribution from the estate, saying that she was a stay-at-home wife. She's entitled to something because she took care of his home, took care of his kids, etc., etc. And he was opposing it to say, based on the marital regime that we chose to enter into, you do not have a claim as a result, you know? The court then made a decision to give her 30% of his estate and or of the marital estate, quote unquote. And then he then referred the matter for appeal to say that it is not in accordance with the marital regime that they decided to enter into. So where we are sitting now is waiting for that matter to come out. If it has come out, maybe somebody knows about it, they can show me the case and I can just go through it and see what the court has said. But now, if it's indeed going to be a situation where, and I think I've said this quite a number of times, to say, if this case is actually enforced, it is definitely going to affect the Divorce Act and the Matrimonial Property Act, because now even the marital regimes have to be changed. It will no longer be marriage out of community of property, where in what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. It will be a situation whereby marriage out of community of property without accrual now has certain T's and C's. It will be interesting to see what the bill is attempting to do in adding T's and C's in that particular marital regime. So let's watch this space and see what's going to happen and see how it will affect marriages that are pre-1984. What would it mean for them? Would it mean that the persons who are still either alive or who are, let's say, their spouses have since died and they were now in that marital regime, would this now apply retrospectively if it comes into effect? And what would it mean? How do they claim from these estates? So I'm waiting to see how they're going to argue that particular aspect of the marital regime.
Hmm. All right, we've got a call, anonymous from Benoni on the line. Hello, anonymous.
Hello. Hello, how are you? Mina bese ngiyavuma ngithi iyakhona umuntu okhe wangibonga wangipha mhlawumbe ngithi 200 ya wangipha 200 lo muntu lo wathi angibonga yabona bese emsebenzini sebathi icala ukuthi ngithathe imali
yes
umuntu lo wangibonga manje nje lo muntu lo oye wangibonga ngale 200 walo wasembi uye wangisukela lakhe wabulisa ku WhatsApp yami and then washo ukuthi ufuna ukungibonga ukuthi uthole umsebenzi mina shothi ngamfakela i CV yomsebenzi manje athi yena ufuna ukungibonga nithi mina ngathi kuye kule message masikhuluma athi haya zinoningi ukuthi ungibonge ngokufakile nje emsebenzini bese lo muntu lo anikeze omunye umuntu imali enclose naye lo muntu lo muntu lo longa esa hlanganisa lithi uthandene emsebenzini anikeze lo muntu loyo lo muntu bese afake imali eaccountini yami
okay
yo 200 leyo and then manje emsebenzini bangisuspendile and manje ngivuka e-KC ngiyakhona
so
andmara nayo i-proof yokuthi lo muntu lo uyo wangisukelela imbangakali imali and then wanikeza lomunye umuntu wayifaka imali
okay no it's fine that one is easy mina ngifuna ukubuza ukuthi lento le when they asked you lento le ukuthi you received imali how long after the incident was it after 2 days 2 months 2 years
which how long thing I receive I mean
yeah or ba ubuza ukuthi we receive any le mali le
some thing the second year yeah.
Okay
yeah.
Okay a month yeah
yazini bhuti wami ithingi kutshela amaqiniso bhuti wami singakafiki kunithabise angithi uyabona ukuthi kwenzakalani la ne labantu laba bebazi ukuthi bayenzani yayibona ne labantu bayithula aba so what I'm trying to say is that asikhuluma amaqiniso before sikhuluma ezinye izinto ngoba mina ngiyakubona ukuthi innocent but labantu bayithula aba bona bebengekho innocent uyababona ngithi orwana uyiboni
oh lo bangekho inesedulo lo emthe imali ngefulu
laba bayithu boyithu ngoba beka angithi lo uyakusukela uthi ngicela ukukubonga ne
yeah
lo munye afaka imali kuwe angithi
yeah
bona bebesevumelana ukuthi bazokhokhelana imali uyayibona lento bakuyuza wena ukuthi wena ube la imali izongena khona uyayibona
yeah
whatever the story is but uyabona ukuthi labantu laba ikhona indaba ora uyibona angifuni ukukustress lalela angifuni ukukustress ngifuna ukuthi sibonisane ukuthi
yeah
You must be able to see with the problem ukuphi then sizo deal no ne solution ngithi mina uyabona na ukuthi labantu abayithu bebe phezulu kwa something engekho right na uyayibona wena ora uyayibona njengoba bana sibakufaka kanje njengoba sebakufaka kanje uyabona ukuthi ikhona into bebe yenza kodwa lo munye ufune imali knowing very well ukuthi ayikho right wathi lo munye no mbo not wena laba ithu laba uyabona ukuthi bebe phana imali ngomsebenzi ora uyibona wena lento
angisho lo oyi one uya wazo wafaka iCV aneza unikeze mina iCV wathi ngifakele loya
uzwa kahle
ngamfakele iCV Ngomfakele isizwe wathi umuntu uyafuneka. Mina ngatshela lo ngathi ngicela utshele labantu lo yabathi kufuneka umuntu ko round endaweni so ngicela umtshele. Usase khona nalamuntu wathi yawu khona lamuntu lo. Ngathi ngicela umtshele utshele bafuna umuntu lamsebenzini. Weza lo uthola umuntu hamba kwahamba isikhathi. Wasebenza mhlawumbe so 3 months. After mhlawumbe 3 months wasebenza wa send message yathi ufuna ukungibonga ngathi hayi mina khululeka. Yabona. Na masilandikeza lo owamfunela umsebenzi wafo, onikeza lo ukuthi makangiyeze le mali.
Okay,
lalela. Account yami.
Lalela buthi, awungizwa. Yazi kumnandi kuba ngizokubiza kabuhlungu. Kumnandi kuba naive. Yabo, ngoba ngiyakubona ukuthi wena unaive. Lento le. Lo muntu lo ocele wena ukuthi ufunele Let's say umngani wakhe angazi ukuthi umngani wakhe noma udadewabo
wathi
umsebenzi.
Yeah.
Awubone na wena ukuthi ubuyele kulamuntu wathi fanele phela sibonge loya bhuti. Bamnika imali. wakunika ukuthi akuvale but yena ufune imali ewena ungayifunanga awuyiboni leyo problem
injalo yeah ngiyachona
yes so okusalayo kunobukirikiri kala wena isasathi wena unaive uyayibona or awuyiboni
ngiyayibona ngendlela isongkhona
manje lo bhuti ocele wena ukuthi ufakele lo mngani wakhe i-CV what I think happened here ubuyele kulomuntu wathi phela awusibongi yini nalo yabhuti fanele ngimnike imali lo ucabanga ukuthi imali ifunwe uwe awuyiboni wena le problem njengoba wena uthi hhayi ngifuni yes njengoba wena uthi hhayi ngifuni bese umosha lento ngoba sekamtshele ukuthi wena ufuna imali
ngiyachona mami na watching nawo abaproof
uzolahlekelwa umsebenzi wena
angithi une proof baba
abantu igebe ngolangaphandle okay asenze kanje so uyayibona iproblem ukuthi kuphi vele une corruption la
so unayo iproof angithi baba
it helps
yeah
okay so manje ke ingena
nini it helps mawazi ukuthi iproblem ekuphi
yeah
ingena nini i-case yakho
sorry
ingena nini
yangena Tuesday
une disciplinary
okay
Tuesday
so manje wena what you need to do uhambe ne proof we print it out ne so lama conversation we WhatsApp we are print oyenazo kule hearing and then ubabonise
ngiyathengisa nabo boyithu futhi labantu
it's fine but u print lento leyani ngiyacela please uzi print lezinto lezi ne wenze i copy yakho wenze i copy for i boss lakho babonise ukuthi mina azange icele lento lena lo muntu lo u offerile le 200 or athi ufuna kumbonga and mina ngala and then after that ngabona imali ingene e accounting only later nga find out ukuthi le mali le ibuya kulo muntu lona I had no intention for receiving monies that I didn't for umsebenzi it was not my intention hopefully bazokususpenda because I think the reason that they opened lecala and they thought that when othengisa umsebenzi
yes
but kangukuthi uya uthengisa umsebenzi
uphatha lesindicate
we are born so when I made over provele ukuthi angithengisi mina I just gave lo muntu lo i opportunity because ngiyazi ukuthi la emsebenzini ba kune opening ngathi mamela ntabise ngifaka iCV yakho lana uzothola umsebenzi but now bayenza engathi mina ngithengisa umsebenzi yabo
yeah
kutwa lalela ke mawungahambi kahle Tuesday
yeah
fanele uye elegal ngicelo CCMA
Yeah.
Ufike njengamaqiniso, ubatshele straight ukuthi wena 1 2 3 1 2 3. Bane experience labantu. They will be able to see what I can see. Bazokumela ke ukuthi at least employer i review le
letisi. Yes.
Yeah.
Yebo.
Yeah.
Askisi ne igebengziningi la ngaphandle.
All right, ngiyabonga kakhulu.
All right, baba.
Sibongile bhuti wami, sibongile. Yo.
Ngunzima guys.
Leba ngata ka montle kama, eh? Hai khona. Hai suka. Okay, we do have oh gosh, I think Spoo is on the line. I don't know if we still have Spoo. Spoo,
hi ladies. Spoo?
How are you?
I'm good, Tunelo. Kimutene, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Go ahead, Spoo.
Shouldn't I be saying kunjani?
Kishapu Spoo, how are you?
Good, man. I was having a conversation with an associate of mine.
Yes.
And it led to me calling now, since especially earlier you were talking about unfair dismissal and all those stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Something is happening, and I'm hoping you can give advice to people that are affected by this practice,
okay.
Especially with small businesses.
Yes.
You know, these up and coming entrepreneurs, they get away with a lot of stuff that they shouldn't. And what I'm referring to, you know, especially when it comes to these learnerships, you get a learner coming through into the business and they've got a 1-year contract.
Yes.
For them to gain experience in that environment and do a little bit of theory as well and get a certificate that they were there to get that experience and they've completed the course.
Mm.
Now, what these crooked employers do, when that contract expires, they don't give them the employment contract. They just allow them to carry on working, and those who inquire about the contract, they'll get something like, we've got a third-party lawyer who's looking into your contract. We're still waiting for a contract. But this will go on for months and months, and some will go up to a year or longer asking for a contract. They are working, but they don't have a contract.
Okay, let me see if I understand you properly. So the internship contract says that once it's done, we're going to give you a permanent contract. That's what you're saying?
No. So that one, it says you complete the program.
Yes.
And then if there's a need for you, the employer can take you on as an employee.
All right.
But they are not obligated to.
To do so.
That's what the,
we are together.
Yeah, that's what the internship says.
All right. So,
but what they will do is,
they will let you
once
work.
It's completed, they will let you continue working. Maybe they'll give you R1,000 or R2,000 more, which is still maybe half of what you would have been, you know, earning if you were hired properly.
Okay.
So now question number one is the risk of working in a business without a contract that specifies the role that you're in,
yes,
and the benefits of that role, and the remuneration of that role, you know, and things like accidents at work and all that stuff, you know, the risk of working there without a contract. And secondly, once you've been following up with your employer, let's say now for 6 months,
yes,
what steps can you take? Because remember, you're also afraid to lose your job. You are grateful that you've got a job.
Yeah.
But you are also worried about you don't have a contract. What steps as a young person can you take to make sure that you get some kind of assistance, that you actually get the contract signed that says you are here doing this job for this much and these are the benefits?
Okay. So what you can do is you can refer the matter, as always, to the CCMA for unfair labor practice. Ne? So, yes, you may not have a physical contract. If I'm not mistaken, it's Section 200 of the Labor Relations Act, where you are deemed to be an employee of a certain company with or without a contract based on the actions of both parties, which is both employer and employee. So the employer hasn't really terminated you. And not only that, they've increased your salary, whether it's R500 or R1,000, it doesn't matter. They've increased your salary. So it can be deemed that the employee-employer relationship still subsists. And as such, it can be deemed that the T's and C's that were applicable in that internship contract could still be applicable right now in this quote-unquote new contract. So let these people refer the matter to the CCMA for unfair labor practice. They are obviously going to deal with the situation where they're going to say, but you are not employed, you are an intern. Make sure that they are aware of Section 200, that they can be deemed to be employees based on the actions of the employer. Okay.
Fantastic. Right. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, no Spoo, problem. As usual. Thank you very much. Tabi saying thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
Next week.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.